welcome in on a Sunday morning, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. And as we do at 6:30, we are protecting military families with Chris Brochu, the owner of Brochu Law. Chris, how are we doing this Sunday morning?
Good morning, Casey. Doing well. How are you doing?
I am good. Glad to be here. We're going to talk the Military Lending Act today. We did it a couple episodes ago, which you can go back and find WOKV.com, Chris's website, BrochuLaw.com. There's a video version of the show, thanks to Justin at Nova Productions. We had Josh Griffin on to talk about the Military Lending Act during that episode, so go back and look for that. A lot of good information. We're going to bring you more of that today, though, as we go along in the next hour. Chris, as we do, we start off with the Brochu Law Second Opinion, where you will look at military families and things that they want to get a second opinion on, and you will do that for free and help them potentially find benefits that they're leaving on the table. Go ahead and explain that a little bit more for the people that don't know.
Sure thing, and especially as it pertains to this episode, any consumer credit that you've received from a private lender or one of these payday loan companies or, one of the companies that's just outside of base housing. If you think that the agreement that you entered into, the mandatory arbitration fee, the required allotment, right? If you have any of those things, if the interest rate is extremely high, if any of those ring a bell or are a red flag and you've entered into that agreement, from 2019 until now, please give us a call. We want to hear from you, and we will investigate that claim during our free consultation. If there is something that we discover that we can assist you with, and we decide to enter into a fee agreement, we don't require any money up front from military families, and we will represent you on a contingency fee basis. Only way we win is if you win. Only way we get paid is if you get paid, right? We advance all costs on behalf of our military families. And what we're doing in today's episode, we're going to basically piggyback off of Josh Griffin's episode. I'm going to tell you about an experience that I had recently, because I truly think that if we can break the stigma of, hey, somebody tried to rip me off or somebody did rip me off, if we can talk about that, like, we're going to be able to inform people. And for me, I'm not military or veteran, but mine's from a consumer perspective and my car buying experience from a couple weeks ago. So, and I want to talk about that and some of the things that I encountered that I found were extremely deceptive. But I want to encourage our military families, if you know somebody that needs help to get out of one of these loans, even if it's to just talk to somebody about it, please spread the word. Please help so that all of our military families and consumers are on the same page. And God forbid one of these predatory companies is doing something that we know is unlawful. Let's fight back.
Absolutely. If you want Chris's help, 904-201-1771, or you can email him if that is easier for you, Case, C-A-S-E, at brochulaw.com. Also want to remind you, if you are in the military and somebody is ripping you off or you believe that to be the case, your attorney is confidential to you. Like, that is something that Chris, if you choose to use him as your attorney, which I advocate for, he's the best in the business. But
that was really kind. Thanks.
I would call you Chris, but your attorney will be kept confidential, so it's not something you have to worry about getting out in terms of any information that you don't want out there. Your attorney, whether it's Chris or whoever, will not put it out there. So it's your business. It will stay confidential, and Chris wants to help you. If you're in the military and you're getting ripped off, give him a call, 904-201-1771. Chris, the Military Lending Act is where we're at today. Go ahead and give the people just a refresher. If they didn't see that episode with Josh Griffin, you can go back and find it, like I mentioned, Chris's website or WOKV.com. But just give the people an overview of the Military Lending Act, what it is, and how we're going to get into it over the next half hour or so.
Sure thing, Casey. And just like you said, when someone that's either a military family, service member, spouse, dependent, gives me a call, everything that we do is confidential. If we decide to move forward against that corporation, payday lender, whoever it is that's doing this unlawful activity, then what we will do is we enter into that fee agreement. We're not going to notify the military. They're not going to be involved, right? This is going to be between us and you know, whoever this company is that's taking advantage of you. And the Military Lending Act is basically just a consumer protection statute that provides greater consumer protection for our military families. And why does it do that, importantly? Because the Department of Defense has recognized that our military families are not only vulnerable, but the most susceptible to this type of harm for a number of reasons, right? As civilians, you can imagine, we live in the same place, right? I mean, you move to a place, okay, yeah, you may move around town, right? You may move from this place, but you're going to use the same businesses. You're going to know the same people in the same community. You're going to most likely have contacts at different businesses that you can use, right? Credit unions and creditors and things like that. Mm-hmm. Whoever you want to, you know, get loans from or consumer credit. Now imagine if you're a military family. We've had other guests on this show that talk about that. You're moving to a new place, new state, new base every couple years, and you're relying on these companies that you have no ties to the area. You have no idea what the reputation is. Sure, the military family does their due diligence. They're going to read reviews or do different things. But sometimes if a family is moving to a new state, buying a house, buying a car, buying furniture, you know, getting, they need a private loan to bridge the gap between the time that they're going to get reimbursed for this and the time that they actually have to move, right? And they need that money quick just to be able to provide that. They may not be able to, you know, have the magic ball, right? The genie, if you will, that's going to say, oh yeah, the company that you're working with, complete scam artists. And they actually target military families, right? So it's one of those things, like we've got to completely sort of do 180 degrees here. And if you get ripped off or a company tries to rip you off, let's not just go home and gripe about it in the confines of our own home. Let's do something about it and spread the word so that our other military families, our other consumers aren't going to get ripped off, right? They're not going to be taken advantage of, because let's face it, if one of these companies is doing it, they're all doing it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and if there's a company out there that is legitimate that you're like, hey, I know they're not doing this, let me know. Let's get that information out there too. Like, hey, this lender or this private loan company or this, you know, car dealership or whatever, they're no nonsense. What they say, their word is good. What they say is actually accurate. And it's not this yo-yo transaction, this bait and switch where it's like, oh, I didn't put it in writing, so everything I told you orally, like, is completely worthless, which is what we're going to talk about on the other half of the show.
Yeah.
That experience is what I just experienced in a car buy-in. So I really am passionate about the topic because, as we're going to get into, Military Lending Act prohibits certain types of usurious interest rates. When I say usurious, predatory interest rates. You can't just charge somebody whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Service Member Civil Relief Act, also a common service member spouse and dependent act, that's going to provide even stricter restrictions if somebody's called and on deployment or something. Military Lending Act, specific interest rates, no mandatory binding arbitration, no required allotment, so we'll get into that, and other protections that would essentially allow a military family to get out of this contract, this agreement. They get statutory damages, potential punitive damages. If we're successful, the company may have to pay our attorney's fees and costs, right? Those are all benefits to our military families in filing a Military Lending Act claim.
Absolutely, and that's why it is so important. Let's talk about, you mentioned it, the required allotments, because you made it known to me that was important to you to talk about. So give the people an understanding of the required allotments, because it's not... I mean, you can maybe connect the dots, figure out what it is, but give the people the information they need to know about the required allotments, not in the Military Lending Act, but how has that been a hamper on military families?
The first thing I'll say is most of these unlawful and illegal acts are told to me by military families, right? And they call me up and say, Chris, I don't know if this is allowed, but this seems kind of fishy, right? Like, this doesn't seem... This company is being very kind of deceptive, and they don't want me. They're just hiding the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily hear about all of these companies or all of these unlawful acts unless you call me about it and you tell me about it. So if you have a company that you know ripped you off or you know is trying to deceive people or that maybe you just think whatever they're doing is unlawful, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out if you know, there's something that we can investigate for you. But I think primarily the main starting point is where is this act taking place? What state? What's the law? And then we can go from there. And I'm sorry that didn't answer your question, but I was thinking about how most of these come about, and it is from military families spreading the word. So with allotment, the easiest way to think about it in the civilian world would be, well, it's just what comes out of your paycheck, right? Think of your, if we were outside of Florida, you know, your state income tax. Inside of Florida, you know, you've got your FICA, you've got any of the other federal stuff that you have to pay. You know, pre-tax, you'd have your 401k or health savings or things like that. With military, you know, on your leave and earnings statement, that LES has sort of an allotment. So when you set that up with DOD, basically what you're doing is you're telling them, hey, before I get the final net amount, I want you to pay whatever my monthly is to this company.
Yeah.
Now, most of you would, you know, on the surface, just like me, say, well, that might be good because one less bill you have to worry about, right?
Yeah, just let them take it and, you know, it's all...
Yeah,
like
direct deposit, you know?
Yeah.
The problem is these companies know how difficult it is to stop that required allotment. So what happens is service member, their family falls behind, misses a payment, whatever. They jack the interest rate up. They start charging all these unlawful fees. You go to dispute it. Sorry, you got an allotment. I mean, it is like extremely hard. That's why the military, and again, this isn't me saying this. This is the military. This is DOD that said, hey, this is a serious problem. This is why we don't permit required allotment, because these companies are taking advantage of our military families. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. So here's the interesting part, right? Consumer Finance Protection Bureau has come out and gone after some of these personal lenders and payday loan companies and stuff like that for these required allotments. There are still companies doing this. So on their website, they say, oh, we take cash and check and all this stuff. No. Everybody, when they go through that process, if the company is doing it unlawful, they're saying, well, the only way we extend that consumer credit is if you sign up for allotment, right?
Yeah.
Got to enroll in allotment. And how some of these nefarious companies are getting around that, which this is also unlawful, they'll partner with a local bank or like a credit union. And they'll say, okay, Casey, great. What we need you to do is you open up this separate account. You're not going to even need this account for anything other than this one, like,
yeah,
one, you know, piece of consumer credit. And now your allotment is going to that consumer credit union, who then has direct deposit to the company. See the workaround?
Yeah.
It's still unlawful.
Right.
It's still sleazy and deceptive. But, it's happening every day, and we got to do something about it. I can't even – the amount of creativity that these companies have to avoid their obligations under federal law, it's like anything. It's like if they just put that creativity to good, like they'd probably be even more successful. But like they're putting it towards like ripping people off.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is. It absolutely is. And just to kind of clarify what we're talking about on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk Protecting Military Families, when we're talking about these type of things, we're talking about anything you would need a loan for, right? So like a house, a car, a boat?
Yeah, I mean,
any of these things? Or?
So under Military Lending Act, a house would not be under that. That would be excluded. A car would be excluded unless you had some additional stuff, right? You'd have gap insurance or things unrelated to the purchase. And I actually co-counsel these cases, strictly Military Lending Act, but other types of consumer cases with a firm that's got one of these up on appeal in the Fourth Circuit. It's, to my knowledge, one of the furthest it's gone. And basically, it's a vehicle case with those sort of intricacies. But yeah, you can't, do these unlawful acts over and over and over again and expect to, not be held accountable. And I think the Military Lending Act, accomplishes that. I really do.
So when you talk about the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau and their try to crack down on the allotments and stuff like that, how does that happen? How do you go about kind of trying to stop this stuff?
Well, so the civil enforcement under CFPB, and, I've never worked for them or any other, agency as an attorney, so that's more administrative, and it wouldn't prohibit anyone from filing a lawsuit against that company unless, in the civil settlement, right? In that civil enforcement action, if in the settlement said, hey, no private right of action, well, then you may be prohibited from filing. But really what they're doing is the Military Lending Act, it's a misdemeanor for a company to do this. So they're enforcing it from a governmental agency perspective, whereas a private attorney is representing the interests of an individual who's been ripped off. And we do that in a number of ways. I mean, one of the best ways to do it is, a class action, because of the fact that we can take all of these individuals that have been harmed and bring it as one case. So one person versus however many tens, hundreds, thousands,
yeah.
You're just, it's strength in numbers, right? I mean, because these companies know who's going to be able to afford to pay an attorney out of pocket to litigate over $500, $1,000,
right.
$10,000, right? But it's still important. I mean, I don't know about you, but $500 to me, I'd rather not lose that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, and what these companies know, and that's how they avoid a lot of these obligations, is they just say, well, come get it,
Yeah.
And if everybody just sits by and nobody's willing to, push on, people are still going to be taken advantage of.
Absolutely. You mentioned there that it's a misdemeanor for some of these companies. They know that it's a misdemeanor and they know that they're committing a crime in a sense, but it's still worth it for them to try and do it?
I can't figure it out. I've never, worked for a company that was doing anything like this. So right. I don't know what the cost benefit is. In my mind, the cost benefit is, well, the government agency isn't holding them accountable. Well, they get caught, they pay the fine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they fold up shop, they go bankrupt. I mean, if you're doing a cost benefit from a sleazy company, point of view, well, you get caught, you pay the fine, you keep pushing forward, mm-hmm. right? If you have CFPB enforcing it and you have these individual attorneys enforcing it on behalf of military families, now we're really starting to squeeze those companies. So they got to do one of two things. They either get legit, or we run them out of business. And I think either one of those is great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see people get taken advantage of. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely. I agree with you.
So
on that one, let me ask you this, Chris. Somebody calls 904-201-1771 or the email case@brochulaw.com, and they're a military family that thinks they're getting ripped off. They need your help. What's the first thing you do? How do you go about it?
First thing we got to see, folks, is it's got to be more than an oral statement, right? So we can't, what Bobby Sue told us over the phone, right? And again, we're going to talk about this extensively in the next part of the episode, but it's not going to necessarily hold up in court. It's going to be he said, she said. And as you guessed it, if those people are lying to you on the phone, they got no problem lying to you, at a deposition or something like that. So we want it in writing if possible. And usually it's in the form of an email or a text or, a letter. And what we need to start investigating is send us everything that you have from that company when you signed up. So send us the terms and conditions. Send us everything that you agreed to. Every document that you signed, they likely gave you a copy, or you've got a portal you can log into and pull it from there. Send us your statements. Show us where they told you online, hey, you can pay in all these methods, but when the rubber meets the road, the only way you can get consumer credit is if you sign up for allotment. I mean, that's what we do to figure this out. And again, we screen these all the time. If your case doesn't meet our criteria for representation, well, you don't owe us anything, right? Yeah. That's the free consultation. So we start out by looking at the documents. From there, we will assess the documents and basically take a look at the law and where we think it may fall in, and then we let you know. And either way, right? If it's there's nothing that I dislike more than a company that will only, you know, discuss information or whatever if you're, you know, a client, right? Like any case that I screen, me or someone from my team is going to let you know why it doesn't meet our criteria. We're never going to just leave you in limbo. Mm-hmm. So even if it's a case where we don't think we can represent you, doesn't mean you still can't call someone else. And it certainly doesn't prohibit you from calling someone else, but we're going to let you know why it doesn't meet our criteria.
Absolutely. And Chris, like you said, we're going to talk about your buying experience. We're going to get all of that set up for the next segment, but about a minute and a half, anything else you want people to know, Military Lending Act, what they need to know, and if they need your assistance, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, the first thing that you want to do, if you want to look into any of your consumer credit, payday loans, anything related to, you know, any consumer credit, right? Any cars that you've bought, really anything, gather those documents, right? Then reach out to an attorney, reach out to me if you'd like, and we'll take a look. And then again, it's contingent, so we will kind of work through that. If we decide to work together, we'll obviously have to enter into a fee agreement, no upfront costs, contingency fee basis. The only way we get paid is if you get paid, and we advance all costs on behalf of military families and consumers. The next half of the episode, we're going to be talking, I just bought a car. My uncle that is a Navy veteran will be very proud. He's out of Detroit. He's worked at some of our American manufacturers. I did buy American, but my experience was about as un-American as it gets, I would say, which is saying something.
So. Yeah, it is. That's better than any tease I could give, so I'll just leave it there. 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. The 7 o'clock hour, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, protecting military families with Chris Brochu, as we do every single Sunday morning. In the first part of the show, we talked about the Military Lending Act, a lot of good information. Chris goes into it a little bit. And if you are a military family and you want him to look over some of the loans and stuff like that that you have, he will certainly help you with that with the second opinion, as well as if you really need his help, knowing that you need his help, or if you think you just might, 904-201-1771 or case@brochulaw.com, and he will help you with that. But if you missed any of that first segment, WOKV.com, as well as on Chris's website, brochulaw.com, video version of the show, thanks to Justin at Nova Productions. But now, Chris, the moment you've been waiting for a couple weeks since this happened, the Chris Brochu buying experience. What did that entail?
The first thing I'm going to say is I bought American. You know, my experience was un-American because I think it was kind of a deceptive transaction. But my show isn't to, you know, put any companies on blast. My show is to inform, right? So I'm not even going to name who it is. They know who they are, and it's not some fly-by-night dealership. They've got what I thought was a good reputation, yeah. Right? But the main reason I want to talk about it is I'm not just some ticked off millennial who didn't do their research. I thought it was pretty straightforward, right? I mean, I'm going through the buying process. I kind of know what I want, what I am willing to pay. And I figured, you know, this isn't, you know, 1980 Jordan Belfort. Hey, let's, you know, do something that's improper, right?
Yeah.
This isn't the you know, magic show. Hey, look over here while we, you know, ransack your house, right? Like, mm-hmm. You'd think, like, if somebody said something, whether they put it in writing or said it over the phone, like, their word is their word, right?
Yep.
Yeah, not the case. So the first thing you got to know is I got to the point where my 2011 was starting to show some signs of
2011.
Yeah, it was, you know, I'm like one of those guys that, like, I look at my vehicle kind of the same way I look at my cell phone, right? Like, I'm not really thinking about it until I need it.
Yeah.
But, like, when you need it, you need it. Yeah. Like, can you imagine, like, your cell phone breaks, you got to go get a car immediately?
Hey, Chris, you're preaching to the choir. Since in the last, like, month, I've had to get 4 new tires and a battery.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there. You're not thinking about it until you're thinking about it, but here I am.
Not a lemon, is it?
No, it's okay. It's been just, okay up until
I'm
this
just
point.
Kidding. So,
I know who I'd call if it was, though.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we do some of that. We had a class action last year on a defective RV. So, so what basically my buying experience is, I'm not going to go, I don't really want to go, you know, I know what I like, and I don't need to go, you know, test drive 20 vehicles to figure out what I want. I know generally what I want, right? And so, you know, I looked up on the manufacturer's website, found the one I wanted. They actually got me in touch with a local dealer. And that dealer, you know, was texting me and doing all this stuff and seemed legit. Like, they're sending me the window sticker, the MSRP, you know, pictures of the vehicle. I'm like, okay, great, you know. And just because I was concerned with not wasting their time or mine, right? Because I'm not... To me, a negotiation is when you have something to lose and I have something to lose, right? Now, sure. In a car buying experience, if I know what my budget is and you tell me what that vehicle is worth, if my budget matches the value of that car, well, I don't think that's a negotiation. Yeah. You?
No.
Right? Because I know what I'm willing to pay.
Seems like an agreement almost.
Yeah. Right. Now, if I didn't know what I was willing to pay or I didn't know the value of the car and I went in and they said, okay, here's the value, like here's what the car is, and how much can you pay? And then we negotiate. That's a negotiation, right?
Yeah.
Well, in this scenario, I didn't want to waste my time or theirs. I call up the, I don't know if it was whoever's in charge of the management team at this dealership. Seemed nice over the phone. Little did I know what was going to happen, right? So I'm kind of cutting to the chase, and I can just almost feel the... you know, the, oh, don't worry, this is going to be super smooth. This is the easiest buying experience. You know, you're going to have fun. This is a fun process, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fun if you're not the guy getting bent over the barrel and showed the 50 states, right? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
Fun? Yeah, fun. If you like getting a tooth removed, that's probably more fun than this, right? Like, a root canal would have been as fun as this.
That does not sound good.
So... I'm like, what's, you know, you sent me everything, love it. What's the best you can do? It's this price. Okay. I just want to make sure that includes tax, title, fee, right? All the fees, yep. Everything, all in. Like, no surprises, none of the magic show, right? This isn't the 1980s anymore. You're not allowed to do all that deceptive stuff, right?
Yeah.
Nope, don't worry about it. All good. Show up, go for a test drive. Great, love it. Everything they said, right?
Yep.
Well, rubber meets the road. Holy smokes. Slide the paper. Oh, sorry, the MSRP? No, there's actually a vehicle shortage right now, right?
Uh-huh.
And for those of you listening, like, yeah, I get it. I know there's a vehicle shortage. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I know that, which is why I asked, what's the best you can do it for? Yeah, $5,000 dealership extra, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus this additional almost $800 fee for some of these extras that, again, they had said... over the phone would be...
Was not a thing.
Don't worry. They'll be thrown in, right?
Yep.
So, as you can tell, $6,000 over what I wanted to pay, right? Yep. And what they said the vehicle price was, I'm a little bit annoyed.
So,
right?
$6,000 more than you were told on the phone.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
So, I basically get told... And I will say this, like, credit to the sales guy that helped me. Because I do think he was a straight shooter. I think he got kind of caught in the crosshairs, if you will. Like, I don't necessarily think he was...
the problem.
Yeah, no. Like, he was a super guy. But I will say, like, him not, like, understanding... And again, I'm pretty sure they all... I don't think that's the first time that team has all sold a car together.
Probably not.
I'm pretty sure they know what's being said over the phone.
Yeah.
So I'm told everything that I'm telling them about... buying it for this price and the price she quoted, there's no way that could have happened. Everybody knows about this fee, this $5,000, right? And I'm like, well, that's funny because the person that held himself out to be your boss never mentioned a thing, right? I said, what's the best you can do? She said X. I come here and you tell me Y,
yeah.
Right? So we kind of go back and forth and he goes out back, right? Now, you know, I don't want to say it's the wizard, but it seems like that, right? Because you don't know who's back there.
Sure, you don't.
Somebody's in that back space, you know, they got their T-value or whatever machine set up.
Yep.
They come out. Yeah, actually, the 6K, yeah, that doesn't include tax title fee. It's actually almost 10K. That's what they present to me. It's actually almost 10K over what she quoted you, so there's no way she would have done that.
So they go in with one price and come back with an even more expensive price by like $4,000.
Yeah, like the thing that I was kind of having trouble wrapping my head around was like, not only did he not get it when I told him it was 6K more, but then I was like, oh, it's almost 10K more.
Yeah, he thought you were asking for a higher price, I guess.
Yeah, like, and just so you know, folks, like I'm not one of those guys that's like in there, you know, to buy a $100,000 car that's like, all right, I'm going to talk them down to 30. Like, today is my day. Like, no, like, I'm not, again, I don't want to waste my time or theirs.
Right.
And I'm not there to even haggle. Like, it is what it is. Give me the car for the best price you can. And if I think it's worth it, I'm going to buy it. Right. Right?
Yeah.
So,
it's a good point. You weren't being, just knowing the background of the scenario, you weren't being unjust. You were buying a car with, you know, you had a budget. The car was in the budget. Feel pretty good about it. But your budget wasn't $10,000 more than your budget.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Casey, if you came to me and said, hey, Chris, I got this legal issue. And I said, hey, Casey, don't worry. I'll do it for a dollar. And then you show up to my office and I say, and you know, somebody that works for me says, ah, Casey, he would have never said that. He'll only do it for $5.
Yeah.
Would you feel good about that? Would you feel that warm feeling inside? Or would you say, oh, geez, they just pulled the wool over my eyes?
Yeah. I'd be like, you know, Chris, this isn't what I signed up for. You know what I'm saying?
So here's my point. Set expectations.
Which, by the way, Chris is not doing that.
No. No. I'm a straight shooter as they come. I've got clients all day that are like, hey, can you do it for this? Can you do it for that? My rate. And again, you can find it cheaper down the street. Go ahead. Go for it. I mean, Walmart sells tons of different types of pasta sauces from
sure.
great value to upper level. Depending on what you're buying, you may want to go with the cheaper option. Sometimes you want to go with the better, more expensive option. It depends on what you're buying, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. I like great value too, you know?
Yeah.
Other times I'm like, you know what? I probably should pay more.
Yeah.
But it's about setting expectations. And I would never do that to someone. When we enter into a fee agreement, it is what it is. Like, we want to talk about it on the front end because by the time we're said and done, even if we can't help, I don't want someone to be like, oh, they're full of it. They didn't even try, right? We are going to give our full effort, and we do that in good faith. The thing that was just astonishing to me was, like, I showed up to buy that car in good faith, and, like,
yeah,
I mean, it was just completely nonsense. So the person that comes out of the back room, whoever the finance guy was, it's like, oh, yeah, the number that we're negotiating off of today, this is literally, like, not verbatim, but close to, the number that we're negotiating off of today is almost that 10 grand number, not the one that I was told over the phone. So that's where our starting point was.
Mm-hmm.
And I am starting to get kind of frustrated because, again, the expectation was X and I'm given Y.
Yep.
No, I don't think you guys are getting it. So here's what I'm willing to pay. Can you do that? No, we can't. That's what they said. Okay, great. Shake their hand. Pretty annoyed. Leave. Get in the car. Driving off. It's like a scene from like a car movie, right? I guess. I don't know if there's like a buying car movie.
There might be.
Wait.
Really?
Oh, like
full sprint?
No, it was a jog. Maybe a light walk or a fast walk. Did I do something wrong? No, you didn't do anything wrong. I like you. As a person, like, I went on a test drive, like, he's a nice guy, told me about his family, like, a great guy, you know? But what you're doing is deceptive, right? I mean, this is not like a meeting of the minds, everybody's on the same page. This is like a pretty pretty terrible experience, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm ticked,
because
I'm like, this is supposed to be a happy day. It's supposed to be happy. It should have this warm feeling inside, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a...
Should be using all the new features in my car right about
it's,
now.
Oh, wow. If they're doing this to me, all those stories I've heard my clients talk about, all those consumer stories of people getting consumer credit, this happens to all of them.
Yeah.
And some of the stories I've had, I mean, I've had a Navy veteran drive a car off a used car lot over here on the west side. A couple dozen miles later, I'm talking like 60 miles later, engine blows. When the client comes to me, yeah, I had a $16,000 loan for this used car, and they the engine blows, they deny this extended warranty, and they bring it back to the used car shop, put in a new engine, and now they tack on another $4,500 to that $16,000. So we got them out of that because, again, that's it's just deceptive. The other ones that I've had, I mean, I've got someone right now. They've got a truck that is a very expensive truck, should be reliable. Two transmission blow within 30,000 miles. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on, but it's not our fault, right? So it's just, it's one of those things where it's just so, it's just old. Like, if somebody's out there with a car dealership and they're like, hey, the price is the price and here's the price, please call me. Then every vehicle I buy from here on out, I'll send you my business, and I'd encourage anyone to go there. Because I just think this whole, you know, deception and yo-yo model of these businesses that are still getting away with this 1980 sleazeball type stuff is just disgusting.
Yeah.
I really do think it is.
So your guy, salesman, he comes light jog after you.
Yeah.
Is that how the story ends?
I got the vehicle for what I expected to pay for it. I mean.
Oh, so you did get it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Which, so, again, like, the main reason is, like, that was one of the only places, like, I could probably buy it. And the main point I went there is because I need a car, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, like, the guy was super nice. I don't necessarily know if he was, you know, in on it. If he was, like, I guess that, I don't know if he was. So I'm not going to assume, but.
Yeah.
So I end up buying it for what I expected to pay. And please, buyer beware. Here's how we could have avoided it.
Yeah.
Everything she told me on the phone, right, greased me up, said how great it was, and then tried to spank me like a baby seal. Yeah, that's not how I would have done it. How I would have done it is everything she said on the phone, great. Throw that in the text, because that's what they tried to use against me. Hey, I've read all the texts. None of the texts say any of that. The texts are all the pictures and bunch of nonsense. Yeah. And they all know. They're all working in the same bullpen. Mm-hmm. They all hear each other on the phone. You know, it's like that Jordan Belfort one where you can almost imagine they're all like crowded around the phone, like listening in as he's like, you know, going in for the kill.
Yeah.
The worst part about it is some of these companies have sales teams, and the sales team think that they're sharks, but they're not sharks. Like, especially in this car buying scenario, These people are not sharks, because the only way that a shark is a shark or a lion is a lion is if their prey knows that they're a shark, right? Or they know that they're a lion.
Right.
They're wolves. Why? Because they are pretending, right, mm-hmm. like they're part of the flock, but they're wolves. They're just, nobody knows they're wolves until they actually show it.
Yeah.
So I'll give you one other example. And again, I was in a position where I was like, all right, that's fine. I think given inflation and everything, I was still a decent rate. But over the phone, I'm told probably, I think it was like a low 3%, but it was like, hey, go to your credit union, but that's what we can offer. Yeah, it was like low fives for what it was, which again, like, all good, right? Inflation, I'm not going to fight them on it. But again, get it in writing, right? And people are going to be like, oh, he's just some ticked off millennial that, you know, didn't get a good deal. Well, go ahead. Million stories out there. There was not, I guarantee you, that is not the first story of that place. Won't be the last.
Probably
so
not.
Please, just what I would do if I could do it differently, go to your local credit union, figure out what you qualify for, figure out what they're willing to extend you for credit, get that rate, you know, locked in, figure out what they're going to give you. And then once you figure out what you want to buy, get them to put it in writing, right? Before you go through the whole process and they waste all your time. And that will avoid, I think, a lot of headache. But again, I'm not here saying, I mean, I make as many mistakes as anyone too, right? And I do this for a living. So that's why I'm like, all right, I know what my rights are as far as these go, but companies still try to take advantage of it. And they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
These guys are pros at what they do.
I got you.
I don't think I need to explain any further.
No, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Let me ask you this. So you mentioned about the texts in terms of getting it in writing. Is a text enough?
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, we file class actions where we've got text, emails. I mean, yeah, anything in writing. And that's why, like, these companies, you always can tell when a company is being untruthful, mm-hmm. especially on the back end, right? Where you can kind of take a full look and figure out, like, okay, like, almost Monday morning quarterback, right? Like, okay, what went wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're using the oral statements against you because it's not in writing,
yeah.
they know what they're doing. Give
that's
me a
true.
Break. And if for some reason they disagree, let's come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a conversation.
That
you know, you want to have a conversation. Any of these. I mean, you hear me talk about different industries. If anybody's listening and disagrees, come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And if you want to come on, 904-201-1771.
That's right.
It'll get you through to the right person. Maybe don't email case@broshulaw.com. That's more for people that actually need assistance there. But if you do need the assistance, you can go ahead and email Chris,
case@broshulaw.com.
Chris, before we get out of here, you mentioned this. When I mentioned my car, you said a lemon in terms of a used car. You mentioned the transmission case. Can you just go into a little bit more? If you think that you have purchased a lemon, there's a consistent issue with their car that you're starting to believe isn't necessarily your car's problem, but more of a who's operating and fixing, if you will, on your car, what should they do?
So the first thing you want to look at if you bought a new car is, and you've brought it in several times to be repaired, is the repair based off of something that is affecting the use, safety, or value of the vehicle, right? So, you know, if one of the, I'm trying to think of an example where it maybe wouldn't fall into one of those three categories, right? Like use, safety, or value of the vehicle. If it's something that's very, very, you know, prominent, right? Like the transmission example I gave, something with the engine, any of the electrical components, anything that's like sometimes like the vehicle doesn't start, or sometimes it immediately stops, or sometimes it goes into a different gear, or any of the stuff that you see that's like, oh my God, my family could die, right? If we're in a bad accident. And I get these calls frequently, and it's terrifying, because do you know how a company recalls a vehicle? Most of the time it's cost benefit, right?
Yeah.
How many of these lawsuits can we sustain, right? Even if they're killing people. Again, my opinion, right?
Right.
So whatever. How many of these can we sustain before we got to issue a recall? And maybe this is a one-off, right? Maybe it's not a design defect. Maybe it's like, you know, the manufacturing guy was out to a liquid lunch on a Friday and, you know, he didn't put the part on right and here you go. I don't think that's the case because most of these are built by, you know, machines, right? So the robots, you know, they don't call in sick. So
not usually.
I think that's one of those scenarios. So if you think that you bought a new car and you're having difficulty with it and you've brought it in two or three times and they cannot, the vehicle cannot be fixed, like there's no fix, you gotta call a consumer attorney and try to assess it before it's too late. If the warranty runs or the statute of limitation runs, any other things that could prohibit you from filing a lawsuit, you may not be able to get out of that vehicle and you may be stuck with it, right? Even if it's inoperable, you'd still have to repay that. And that, just so you know, goes into sort of my last point, the warranties, right? Mm-hmm. The extended warranties. Another part of the car buying experience that is just mind-numbing. I say that respectfully to any of the guys selling warranties out there. You're selling a warranty that the state of Florida, there's an implied warranty when you buy something that you're not buying a hunk of junk, right? You're selling a new car. The manufacturer has a 3-year, you know, 36,000-mile warranty. The fly-by-night extended warranty company, yeah, I'm good. And I can tell you, as somebody that's actually filed lawsuits where we allege express warranty and implied warranty, if it's not... if it's not protected by the manufacturer, I would never personally, mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. The main reason is when you go to sue these companies under this extended warranty, they fold up like a lawn chair, right? Not all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're, again, if you know of a company out there that's like, hey, they're the best extended warranty, good. Keep using them.
Yeah.
But at least from the ones I've seen, if it's not, you know, Apple protected warranty, right, or your vehicle manufacturer warranty, you're just getting into a hairy territory.
Absolutely. That'll do it. This Sunday morning, Protecting Military Families, 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Go back and listen, WOKV.com, or on Chris's website, broshulaw.com. Thanks to Justin and Nova Productions with a video version of the show. 904-201-1771 is the number. Case@broshulaw.com is the email address. Chris, thanks for hanging out this Sunday morning.
Thanks, Casey.